you sing, well, for myself, I sing all the time. So my kids are actually like, can you shut up already, please? You're a little loud and please, but we sing when we're joyful, right? We sing when we're sad. We sing sometimes, like myself, just to sing. And I was thinking about the Songfest today, but how about those times where you just don't feel like singing? You ever got one of those moments? Like circumstances around and things are going on in our lives and it affects how we sing and if we sing. And I was thinking about Psalm 137. It says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. Upon the willows and the mist thereof, we hanged up our harps, for they led us captive, requiring us of songs, and they wasted us, requiring us of mercy, saying, sing us the songs of Zion. But then they said, how shall we sing Jehovah's song in a foreign land? I want to deal with that kind of topic a little bit here, that being discontent with things around sometimes, looking at life and the tragedies of life and the problems and issues of life and coming to a conclusion like Habakkuk comes to that, yet no matter what happens in this world, I'm going to still rejoice in the Lord. Amen? I will rejoice. Habakkuk was a prophet during a time of great moral and spiritual decline in Judah. There was so much injustice and suffering. The people of Judah turned away from God. They turned to idols, and we saw this as a recurring theme in the history of Israel and Judah. They would trust God for a little while and for a season, and then turn and abandon him and turn to idols and all of that. And in this case, once again, Judah has turned away from God, falling into corruption, violence, and idolatry. And because of this disobedience, God reveals to Habakkuk some problems, some things are going to happen. The Babylonians are going to be coming in. In some versions, it might say Chaldeans, but they're the same group of people. They're going to be coming in with God's judgment to be able to execute judgment upon the Jews that were disobedient. And God was going to use this ruthless army in order to, to bring about justice and to turn them back once again to him. So God gives Habakkuk a vision, not the type of prophecy you want to prophesy, not the type of vision you want to see. It's a disturbing one. It's a distressing vision as well. Habakkuk saw a future. There's going to be no crops. There's going to be no field. There's going to be no livestock. There's going to be, people are going to be facing devastation. Obviously, if you don't have no crops, you're going to have famine. You're going to have struggles. You're going to have challenges through all of this. And it seemed very hopeless. Here's a message that he's given that's very hopeless. And unlike many of the prophecies, this wasn't really a prophecy in the same way or revealed in the same way. It's a discussion that he's having with God. And in this conversation, even as God is painting this picture to him, there's a conversation that's happening between the prophet and God. Habakkuk's asking some questions. Why? Why is there so much evil? Why is there so much wrong that's going on? And oftentimes when we go through life, we're asking the same exact questions. Why, Lord? Why so much devastation? Why so many problems? Why so many issues? Why am I always in this situation? Why am I always going through this? And so Habakkuk has these raw and real questions about this evil and this suffering that's going on. And God responds to him. He responds to him. And one of the things that we're going to see is God is God. All right, I'm going to let that sink in a little bit, and we'll unpack that a little bit, but I'm going to just start out with that statement. God is God. And so let's look at the situation. Once again, Habakkuk, prophet living under great turmoil, nation of Judah facing invasions, destruction, judgment. He's seeing this vision of suffering and desolation that's going to come upon his people. And everything now seems so bleak. The verse 17 says, though the fig tree does not bud and there's no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pens and no cattle in the stalls. Think about this list for a moment. Issue, problem, pain, suffering. This isn't a good list of everything that's gone right. This is a list of everything that's gone wrong. The fig tree is supposed to fruit. I mean, we want to see some fruit on this tree, but there's not even a bud. Grapes, no grapes on the vines. That means we're not going to have a harvest. And so everything around looks bleak. For us, it might be look a little different. Many of us are not farmers and all of that. But for us, it might be I got laid off at the job. It might be instead now they're working us double the hours for the same amount of pay. It might be that all of a sudden when I go to the store, that $20 or that $100 is, you know, now it costs me $200 in order to get the same amount of food that I was getting. And so you see how it starts impacting us in different ways. And all of a sudden, we get alarmed, a little bit fearful. Maybe like him, God, why? Why would you allow this to happen to us? And I'm just say this. First of all, God doesn't always, this is why I said earlier, God is God. There's a song we sing, Farther Along. You know that song? Farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine, and we'll understand it all by and by. God is God. There are some things we are not going to understand until that sweet by and by. Until that day, you know, we won't know it on this side, but we'll know at that point. And so it's not that, Lord, take away all suffering. Lord, take away all issues. Lord, take all of these away. Lord, help me in my perspective. Help me to see you in the midst of the economic collapse, in the midst of relationship issues, in the midst of suffering, in the midst of loss, in the midst of pain. Help me, Lord, to see you. Because that's exactly what Habakkuk does. Habakkuk, he says, look, the fig tree is not budding. There's no grapes on the vines. The olive crop fails. The fields produce no food. Though there are no sheep in the pen, no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice. Yet, I will rejoice. This is such a surprise, isn't it? That with all of that, and this proves to us that it's not the circumstances that dictate how we respond. You know, it's not our circumstances that ought to dictate how we respond. No, it's that joy within us. It's that peace within us. It's that love. It's that confidence, that knowing even if I'm going through this stuff, God is still here with me. He's by my left. He's by my right. He's with me. So I'm going through the struggle. That's David. David saying, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. That's the confidence we need to have as we're going through all of these things. God, you're with me. I know the storm is scary. I know it's dark. I know it's scary and all that. But you're here. And yet in the midst of, and this is true faith being sown, being seen. It's easy to say, I got faith, I have faith, I have faith. But your faith is not revealed until it's tested, right? You take this is our faith. Our faith is a tea bag, but you don't even know what's in that tea until you put it in some hot water. Now you understand what you got. And if we want to know how good our faith is, it's how do we look at God, how do we deal with this life, how do we deal with other people as we're going through what we're going through. Habakkuk says, look, I see destruction, I see devastation, I see problems, I see suffering, I see all of that. And all of that is on the horizon, and yet knowing and seeing that, and knowing that I'm a person that has to declare that message to other people, and knowing I don't know it all and I can't make sense of it all. Hello, I've been in that position so many times. Yeah, we went through COVID, right? Folk were calling me, brother, what's going on? I'm calling the elders. Elders, y'all know? They don't know either. Okay. Deacons, y'all know? No, we don't know either. There's some things that we just farther along will understand it. There's some things we're not going to understand completely, but our perspective should never change. It's confidence, it's faith, it's trust in the God who has got you through the things you got through already. It's the God that allowed you to cross on over different, you know, just like the children of Israel when he split that sea. He's the same God. I don't know about you, but he's done some miraculous things in my life. I don't know about you. I just speak for myself. I've seen God some times where I had no idea where to go when the Lord just opens a door out of nowhere. I've seen some situations that were bleak and devastating and a turnaround just like that. God, and I attest it all. I give God all the praise and glory and honor for it all. I've seen him do some things. But yet, I'm going to be honest with you though. There's some times I wanted him to do something else. There's some times I expected God to work and act in a way that he didn't. I asked and I prayed, Lord, to save this person or this situation. And he didn't. And I'm telling you right now that with the Habakkuk spirit, that no matter how much the enemy throws at me, I'm just talking about myself right now, no matter how much he throws about me, and I'm not trying to be all cocky or anything like that, no matter how much he throws about me, I am just determined to say, though all hell assail me, like the song says, I shall not be moved. Because I know what I know, what I know, what I know. I know who I know, who I know, who I know, who I know. I know who my foundation is. I know where my rock is. I know who to stand upon, even when all of the onslaught of the enemy is upon us. We know where to stand. I shall not be moved. And I'm just praying that you get a little bit of that same type of spirit, that the Habakkuk spirit comes into all of us, that we can declare just like he, with all the devastation. Look, this. I told somebody, and it was a lie. I just said it. That if a certain person becomes president, I might move. It was just a joke. I said that last time too. I'm still here. Yeah, y'all can fill in the blanks. All right, y'all already doing it. But then I'm like, what am I fearful about? God sees us through everything. All right, God has seen us through so many. God is in charge. He's large and in charge, and I'm just here for the ride. He's not my co-pilot. He's in the driver's seat. He's in the driver's seat, and we just got to go along with the ride. And sometimes we know what he's doing. Most of the times we don't. That's why you come here. I'm gonna just tell you the truth. I don't know a lot of stuff going on, and I don't mind telling you I don't know. God is in charge, but he knows. And if he's leading, I'm going to just be like Agur. I'm going to just be dumb enough to follow after God's lead. I don't have to be the wisest. All I got to know is see where he's leading us and follow. And I'm hoping that we're all following him together. This is your message for today. Unconventional as it is and all that, this is the key. All right? We put our strength and our confidence in the Lord. Why? Because of this last statement here. The Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. You know, and so you see the graceful deer, and you see how its feet are protected, and you know, you ever seen a deer in the backyard? I have. We see them all the time. Then you go out there and you poke out there, and if it even hears you for a second, it's gone. Grace like a gazelle, gone. But the Lord protects, and the Lord guides, and the Lord gives it that strength and that speed and that grace. And he's offering all of us that same. God wants us in his family, and he wants us to be his people, but to be his people that have confidence and trust in him. Faith has always been a component of our salvation, of our relationship with God. Because really what faith is saying, I trust you, Lord. I trust you with my life. I trust you with my salvation. I trust you with every area of my life. I trust you, Lord. And I give myself and I put myself in your trust. And when things don't always go the way I want them to go, I still trust you, Lord. When the world is not operating the way it ought to go, I still trust you, Lord. When the business, when the person on the job is not acting the way they ought to act, I still trust you. When my family and your wife and the kids and your husband and the grandmom, and when they ain't acting right, Lord, I still trust you. He's strong. He's sovereign. He's omni-everything. He's God. Let God be God. Let's serve God. Let's live for God. Let's die in God. Let's die serving God to the very end. Though I hell assail me, I shall not be moved. Why? Because I believe that found in the relationship with Christ, that's where salvation is. That's where our safety is. It's not in our works. It's not in what I can do and how I can measure up. It's found in the relationship with Christ. He comes, as John says, to be an advocate for us. He comes to, an advocate means a lawyer. He comes to come by our side and plead our case for us. Listen, you ever seen Better Call Saul? I mean, there's some lawyers out there that are slicksters, that are just, they try to speak around the law and all, and trying to loopholes and all that. No, Jesus is coming up there, pretty much, this is his defense. Guilty. He's guilty. He's guilty. She's guilty. But I'm going to cover him. I'm going to cover him. When you look at them, now you look at me. Jesus, in his righteousness and his holiness, he comes to our side and he covers our sin. You remember in the garden, there was an animal that was killed to cover the sin. After sin came in, there was now nakedness. There was now shame that it ushered in also. And so the Lord killed an animal, took the clothing, the hides of that, in order to make clothing for Adam and Eve. It covered their sin. Jesus comes to be a covering for our sin. He's that sacrifice for us. He came and he died on that cross in order to be able to cover us for something that we couldn't cover ourselves about. My goodness isn't good enough. My best is not good enough. I need him. I feel like preaching today. I don't know. 5 more hours until we song service at 3, right? Were we preaching till 3? Okay, all right. I'm gonna let y'all eat. Let y'all eat. But seriously now, God has done all of this for us. Died. The Father sent his Son. Jesus comes, he dies in our place for us to be our covering, to be that sacrifice, to cover us from our sins. But yet, in order for you to become to access with that, you've got to come first believing. You've got to come believing. You've got to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he's, what did I do? That's all right, I don't need it. No, you don't. I'm gonna mess it up, I'm sorry, y'all. My beautiful closing, messed up again. Maybe you're here. Maybe you're ready to submit. Wherever you are, whatever you need, we're ready. If you need prayers, we'll pray on your behalf. If you're ready to obey the gospel in Jesus Christ, you come submitting, surrendering your life to Jesus Christ. You've heard the message. Jesus came, he died, and he was buried. Are you ready to respond to it? In Acts chapter 2, Peter preached this message, and he told them how they need to respond to the gospel. They asked, they said, brethren, what shall we do? After they heard this convicting message about a man named Jesus who came and he died, and he wasn't just an ordinary man, he's the Son of God. And when they heard that message, it says they were pricked in their hearts. They said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Maybe there's someone here, you're ready. You're asking the same thing. What do I need to do? I'm going to tell you the same thing Peter said. Repent and be baptized. You can do that today. We've got water ready. We've got clothes. Everything is ready if you're ready. Won't you come if you're ready right now to put the Lord on in baptism as we sing, stand and sing the song. Oh, no. Stand and sing the song of invitation. Oh, do not let the word depart and close thine eyes against the light. Oh, sinner, harden not your heart. Be saved, oh, tonight. Oh, ah, not tonight. Oh, ah, hey, not tonight. Oh, will I be saved? Then oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Oh, will I be saved? Amen, amen. Now, Brother George is going to come and close us out.
I wish I could just tell you that I emulate Domingo. You notice here, there, down there. So when you see me move from away from the microphone, blame him.
I just want to say one more thing. We had a blast on Monday. I'm going to just say that. We had a blast on Monday. The skating event was absolutely remarkable. I'm still sore in a few spots from a little bit, but I had a blast, and I said, you know what? I need to come out and start doing this again. This is fun. I felt like a little kid again. So thank you, Shelley, for organizing that and for all of those who came around and supported that. I think we might have started something here.
So I'm going to continue on his thought. You get an attagirl, a huge attagirl from 160 people. My wife and I were talking before I left to go up there, and we were debating whether it was going to be 40 or 50. And we didn't realize how wrong we were. 160 people there on Monday night. So amen to God, and thank you, sister. Jim Friedrichsen is going to come and make an announcement. Then Mike Barker will come up and make one.
Good morning. Sadly, this is the last Sunday in which Mike and Judy Barker will be worshiping with us as members of Green Bank Church of Christ. We hope to see them often, but as weekly members, we will miss them. So we, despite that unhappiness, and it's widespread, Brother Mike, we want to acknowledge our love for Mike and Judy. We want to acknowledge our appreciation for their selfless service to God in this place and to each of us in this place. And we want to say to them that we will miss them beyond words. Mike, as many of you know, has been with this congregation, first at Cedars and then with Green Bank, for 54 years. And latterly, although she hasn't been with us for 54 years, when Judy joined him as his wife, also the service that she has provided, and we appreciate Judy. So So I'm simply Mike and Judy. We just say thank you. We love you. And we will miss the weekly fellowship, but you will be in our hearts and prayers for a long, long time. With that, Mike, would you like to come up and say a word or two? Mike.